Hi, everybody, and welcome to the May Free Content Friday release for Kids on Bikes. We recently announced that our next project coming out in August is going to be Kids on Brooms. And in order to celebrate that and in order to help get the word out there, I got a bunch of my podcasting friends together to help us play a game of it. What's super exciting about it is John Gilmore, one of the other designers of the game, is GMing it. I'm playing as a character. We couldn't get Spencer Stark, our third designer, in because, you know, he's a West Coast boy. But we are so excited to bring you this first episode of our Kids on Brooms short campaign to you as part of Free Content Friday. Later episodes will be released through the Roll to Play Network, which you can find anywhere you find awesome podcasts. So we hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed playing it. But I think that would be tough because we're having an awesome time. Enjoy. My name is Doug Lewandowski. I'm one of the three co-designers of Kids on Brooms. And in the campaign, I'll be playing William Fitch, a 14-year-old first-year student. And if you like what you hear from me, you can hear my GMing on Roll to Play's Red Death podcast.
Hello, my name is Kate Harlow. I will be playing Isla Schuyler Belt. She is an 81-year-old faculty member. You can find more of me on the Space Agers podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @the_space_agers.
Hi, I'm Diana Lorraine. I'm going to be playing Gwendolyn Darling, a 14-year-old first-year student. You can find my podcast at Macintosh and Mod, where we do My Little Pony, Riverdale, and movies reviews. You can also find me as a co-host of Powered by the Players over on the Roll to Play Network, as well as being a cast member of the Space Agers.
My name is David Hanna. I'll be playing Henry Hornbull. He is a Minotaur in the 12th grade. And you can hear more of me also on the Macintosh and Mod podcast networks. You also may have heard me on the Bike Brigade podcast. And you can hear my voice doing the introduction to Roll to Play's What's Your Role podcast.
Hello, I'm Eve Smith, and I am playing Carolina Shank, the underclassman. You can find me on the Brits on Bikes podcast.
Hi, I'm Kent Blue, and I am playing Grumdor, a 17-year-old upperclassman centaur. You can find me on the Roto Play podcast, on Red Death, and a few other of the Roto Play Network shows as I show up.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Gilmore. I am yet another co-designer of Kids on Bikes and Kids on Brooms, and I am GMing.
Kind of a couple mechanically different things in this, for those of you who have played Kids on Bikes or Teens in Space, is this game introduces magic. We'll talk about it a little bit more later, but it does kind of play into character creation, right? Magic always follows two important rules. First, it reflects your personality and intent. Whenever you're casting spells, you'll be drawn on the essence of what makes you who you are, your brains, brawn, fight, flight, charm, and grit. And second, if you practice magic recklessly or maliciously, it can have dangerous consequences. We'll kind of talk about the consequences later, but it's important to keep in mind that with checks involving magic, failure has consequences just like any other stat check. And if you're doing something with evil, the consequences or success might be far, far worse. Every stat in the game corresponds to a type of magic. The other thing is creating your wand and your broom, right? So every great caster needs something to channel their magical energy. And most of the time, this takes the form of a wand. So after you've created your character, You select your wand. The wand that you create for yourself will do two things. First, it'll reflect your character, both in the story behind the wand and the mechanical impact that the wand will have on you. Second, it'll make it easier for you to cast some types of magic. So as you're creating your character, you'll make your wand, and you'll make two selections, the wood and the core. Each kind of wood will give you a bonus to one type of magic when you're casting them in the form of a +1 to magic checks. Then you'll select your wand's core. Each core gives you an additional +1 to a different type of magic than the wand's wood. For example, if your wand's wood was maple, you get +1 to grit, and your wand's core cannot give you an additional +1 to grit. So you have to choose two different stats when you're making that. There's some examples of cores there. And let's see, the core of your wand can be anything, even if it seems unlikely. So phoenix feathers, odors, fingernails, whatever you'd like. All of those things are free game. And then we have some example brooms. Obviously, one of the best parts of being in a magic school is having your very own broom. When you're on campus, chances are you can fly your broom wherever you want and whenever you want, other than in the school buildings, because that would be dangerous, right?
Yeah, but fun.
we did a little bit of world building ahead of time, which we'll talk about. We came up with the sport that everybody plays, which is Jacross.
Stab hockey.
Jacross.
Jacross, sorry.
Jacross. It's French.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's an actual French word or not.
It's a French wizard word, so yes.
I don't, yeah.
The kids call it stab hockey, though.
It's stab hockey.
Yeah. And that's played with the brooms as well. When choosing your broom, be sure to know the story about how you got it. A caster's broom is always special to them. Did you save up and buy it yourself? Was it a gift from a loved one? Did you find it the day you realized you had magical abilities? Depending on the story behind your broom, it might make more sense that you pick a broom for yourself or have the GM pick one for you. Or we can decide it together. So we can talk about that while we're making our characters. And then the brooms in this game, unlike the original version of Kids on Bikes, have mechanical impact. Doug and I have often, one of our friends pointed out, that we made a game called Kids on Bikes and didn't put any mechanics for bikes in the game.
Yep.
So we did not make that mistake with Kids on Brooms. And you can kind of read them there. The blocker's broom has defensive. They all have different bonuses. So you want to record those on your character sheet.
And credit where credit is due. This list is based on the mechanics that we created for bikes in Strange Adventures Volume 2 with the help of the late great Bike Brigade podcast, a couple of the members of whom are with us tonight.
Yay.
Yay.
And then familiars, I think that's the only other mechanical thing, right?
I'm so happy about familiars.
Everyone at your magic school has the option to have an animal companion because they're animals and somewhat disruptive to learning. Most are not allowed to accompany their casters to classes. Dorm rooms are well equipped, often magically, to house familiars without much noise or mess. While a familiar can be any type of animal, keep two things in mind. First, the familiar is a reflection of some core aspect of your personality. You have a special bond with your animal. It chose you as much as you chose it. Does the animal reflect a part of you personally? You've completely embraced one that you like about yourself, or does the animal reflect a part of you that you haven't come to terms with yet, perhaps one that embarrasses or scares you? Second, it's strongly encouraged that the familiar be small enough that you can carry it with you. While cat is a great choice, a polar bear is not. I disagree. A polar bear seems like a great choice, but...
No. Take that, his dark materials.
Yeah.
It's a mode of transportation.
I said what I said in the rules.
Doug has spoken.
Hey, I'm not the GM, so...
Doug says we can't have any fun. It's in the rules.
Okay.
You can have fish too, I guess, but obviously there's going to be some restrictions. And with the GM's permission, anything's possible. So I'm going to say it now. If anybody wants a polar bear, have it.
Okay, Gilmore. You want to go to war?
So do you want to take a couple minutes when people fill out their base character stuff, or is everybody ready?
Filling mine out, and I accidentally, when I was writing my familiar as a field mouse, I accidentally wrote it as the core of my wand.
I'm full of mice.
Every once in a while, your familiar just looks at your wand, and it's like, oh, come on, Ken. Oh, come on.
It's a really fat wand.
I had to murder my familiar to get this wand.
I was looking at the reliable bestie.
Yeah, so probably the best way to do this is to go through that first and then get the brooms and wands.
I'm thinking about going with bullheaded muscle.
Oh, man.
I really want to just be like that very non-traditional type. I want to be a muscle wizard.
Oh, well, I have a full character as bullheaded muscle, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having to.
I was going
to. Like, I totes just wanted to be like a bully. Like, oh yeah, no, even in here, even all these nerds cannot stop me from giving you wedgies.
Okay. Well, that's great.
No amount of magic can stop me.
Because I'm super himbo, bro.
Rad.
I'm gonna be super cute, not smart, but adorable, bro. So roll with it.
So I'm assuming you're moving your charm around then. Because I'm thinking about keeping all my stuff right where it's at in there.
I didn't even think about that, but I can.
I was going to do firstborn caster.
Okay, I'm going to go counterpoint to the firstborn caster and go haughty descendant.
Okay.
I am concerned that I couldn't be haughty towards all of you for more than like half of a session. I don't know that I could do that.
Because we're so charming.
Because I love you all. So like, I don't know how I could, it's just not in my nature. Like,
I mean, I could probably do that. I've been known to be just like slightly mean constantly. It's tempting because I do want to be a bully. Maybe I should be. The idea of muscle magic, I'm just like, I'm into it.
Like when you say muscle magic, I just think of Flex Mentallo from DC.
I just keep thinking about it. Like whenever like stuff starts going down, they just like throw down their wand and punch people.
I don't know. I hear muscle magic and I think about a powder supplement.
All right. Somebody pick for me haughty descendant or a muscle bound jerk.
Haughty descendant.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. Right. Say hello to Carolina Shank.
All right, I'm going to be a charismatic slacker.
What age is under? What would a first year be?
Yeah, so I mean, that's up to us in terms of where our school
what are we saying?
Starts.
Yeah, it's wizard school. We can make up whatever we want.
Yeah. Okay. So they could start at 5. They could start at 15 and, you know, 14 and go for 4 years. It's totally up to us.
Yeah, I think 14 and go for 4 years. So.
Okay. All right.
Additional 4-year wizard school.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So being as I'm a centaur, can I forego a broom?
I mean, you need some way to fly, so I would say probably magic horseshoes.
One of y'all pick me up.
I think it'd be great if one of you had to fly by and you just have this team of wizards flying and one of y'all are being dragged down because you're holding a giant centaur.
We got a magic carpet trailer.
I just cast some sort of levitation spell on myself.
No, they make Pegasi wings for you.
I don't know.
Can I take two brooms and have them on the side?
Yeah.
Of me?
That's awesome.
Are you strapping them on you like missiles, or are you using like?
I am so
okay,
proud.
I like this. I like the missile idea now. I have a special harness.
I think we broke Doug.
Good. I'm good.
The brooms slot into the sides.
We already broke.
Take off Damn. Like a jet.
Yeah, so should we run through what we did for world building? All right, so John, do you want to walk us through it? Do you have the...
Yeah, so we went through some of the world building over chat ahead of time. And while everybody's finished up their character, I'll kind of walk through it all. We decided that our tone was going to be goofy and lighthearted. The game's going to be set in the 1950s, where magic is hidden from the normal world. But it's been around for quite a while, so it's not a new thing. But the wizards have taken steps to hide it from the question, what do we call non-magical people?
It's a good question. So this gets into... one of the questions, the section that we have next, which is about systems of power. Mm-hmm. So what do we want our structure to be sort of in counterpoint to non-magical people? Are we sort of friendly with them? Are we, do we look down on them? What's our relationship there?
I mean, I look down on them, but I look down on everyone. So
my character would be super friendly because I'm a firstborn caster.
Okay. So I guess that's a good question for you. Like, are people ever like real about your parents?
Only Eve's character.
So we're generally friendly with the non-magic users, right?
Good word for y'all.
I think I stay away from them because I'm half of a f***ing
I am also a hybrid, so I will be staying away from most people. But generally, I like them. They're pretty cool.
What are you a hybrid of?
Oh, I'm a Minotaur.
Nice. Interesting.
Because we said bullheaded, and that's what I am meeting.
Well, I think I am naming you. I am your reliable bestie.
Oh, I love it.
Twins.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
On Swanson GIF.
You know what? I was watching Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm going to thank them for this when I came up with all of this character.
It's appropriate.
So you are attending the Benedict Crutherford Preparatory Academy for the Magically Inclined. It obviously was founded by Benedict Crutherford. Crutherford prevented the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, but the government used it as a cover for removing him from the public eye because Lincoln was a wizard. So we're not doing alt history, but we are doing kind of a, you know, Lincoln, everybody thought he was assassinated. Crutherford founded the school in part to protect him, and they gave Lincoln a job teaching under the assumed name Gabriel Dinklin. They weren't very good at hiding people, apparently. And the school was founded in 1866. It's located deep in the Everglades swamp, and it looks like a rundown old swamp shack.
Yeah, we're in Florida.
Oh, okay.
The current head of the school is Mistress Marceline Printemps. She's the first of her family to hold a position with any educational institution, and is surprisingly young as well. This has led her to anger some of the older, more tenured professors, mostly grumpy old men. She wrote a book about caring for familiars that swept the wizarding world. And the book is called On the Conjuring and Care of Magical Companions, Getting Familiar with Your Familiar. Jacruz is the, which is also called Stab Hockey.
It's Stab Hockey.
Yeah, it's a magical sport originally from France involving brooms and lances. We have a lot of rules for it, which we put as notes, but mostly it involves throwing hoops around, and they're flung and caught via the lances, and then the players use the lances to whip and throw them, throw the hoops. So they're kind of like an aerodynamic wooden hoop, like a circular boomerang, I guess.
Yeah.
Everybody's seen those like paper airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that. And let's see. So the last thing that we did before, and we're going to do a little bit more stuff after this, everybody came up with some interesting features about the school. The summoning swamp is a marshy part of at the edge of the school's property where summoning spells seem to work better, though often with slightly unexpected results. It's great for practice with a professor, strictly forbidden by anyone to summon there alone. There's a giant statue of Baphomet in full academic regalia in the courtyard, which people just say, oh, he's an old teacher. There's a fountain that's empty because somehow a student drowned in it. There's a tunnel that runs beneath campus from one side to the other. They say if you walk backwards at the right time of night, you can reverse time. And there's a bird sanctuary home to any winged creatures on campus, except oddly, any typical mortal avians. I think there's a small garden towards the side of the school, away from the botany classes. It is known to be full of old ancient plants. However, it only appears to people with pure intentions. To others, it just appears to be a garden maze. And to those who saw it as they were young and pure, but now don't, it feels like a dream when they saw it last. That was the majority of our world building. We should talk about safety tools, right? So does anybody have safety tools that they prefer to use? Lines and Veils is great if nobody has objectives, and you can just send them to me in Discord if you want, or post them in the group chat, whichever you're comfortable with. And then I'll make a list before our next session to make sure that we stay away from it. But if you have things that you want people to know about, go ahead and just throw them in the group chat. So unconventional classes is next, or is rumors?
Unconventional classes is next, then rumors.
So everybody will name one unconventional class that the school teaches. Doug, why don't we start with you?
All right. So one unconventional class that we have is called, I'm trying to come up with a better name for it, but it's a class where we learn how to reverse the playing of music in order to summon demonic forces.
A summoning class. A conjuring. Conjuring. Oh, what do they call that in Sabrina?
Well, I don't remember.
Oh, dang it.
The class is going to be called Reverse Harmonic Summoning.
There you go. Perfect. Love it.
I like it.
So that whole crew is responsible for the satanic panic, eh?
Yeah, I mean, the entire class is just listening to Black Sabbath on reverse, right?
Well, it's 1950s.
From the future.
Oh, yeah. That's
There's underwater wand making.
I like it.
I think there's a whole class devoted to disguising your magic as ordinary, mundane things that are happening whenever you're around non-magic users.
Magic in the mundane world.
I was going to say, I'm inclined to make everything I just said the title of the class as well.
And that's exactly what I typed out. I added 101 to it. I assume it's the first.
Yeah, because there's like different settings, like in a house or, you know, at your graduation or a wedding.
There's a core requirement of getting through the school.
I'm going to say home ec. Because everybody keeps trying to use magic to solve all these little problems and nobody knows how to do it right, and they end up making a huge mess, and the school has to come in and clean it up, and stop. You don't know how to cook with magic. Stop doing it.
Just sew a button.
It's a very interesting.
We'll show you some tricks to speed up the process, but not everything has a spell.
Yeah, we need like whatever our word is for non-magical people. It's that life skills.
I've just been thinking of them as squares.
Squares.
Yeah, I love that. So all the kids call home at square skills.
There you go. Square skills. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think that's not the word the adults use for them, but all the kids call the regular ordinary people squares. I like that.
There is a class specifically for mythological beings. It's an elective, in which you're learning skills to cope with and disguise yourself as a normal human in the normal human world.
How do we word that?
Unmaking the myth.
I like it.
We're missed myths.
All I know is my guy is super bad at that class.
Unmaking the myth, blending in as a mythological being.
Yep.
There you go.
So next up is one piece of the school's history, either known to be true or a famous rumor.
Rumor's been going around that next year the school is going to accept some students who haven't shown any magical abilities, and nobody from the school has confirmed anything about this, and they've said that it's like just too ridiculous to even comment on. most students who believe it think it's an effort to be like more egalitarian towards the squares, but the conspiracy nut who works for the school paper thinks that they're doing this as a way to test some way to make magical power stronger. And her best friend, who's the editor in chief of the school paper, says that the last part of the rumor is so far afield, even for her, and refuses to print it, even in the section that is devoted to the writer's conspiracy theories.
Love it.
Well, I heard a rumor that the school actually has a secret laboratory of sorts for testing of military magics deep in the dungeon. And that's why we're not allowed to go down there.
The Jacruz field is totally haunted by some squares who were who died there shortly before they built it.
Are you suggesting it's a square burial ground?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
The squementary.
Nope, I'm not going to write that word.
Nope. The student who supposedly drowned in the fountain didn't actually drown. The fountain is a portal to another world.
Whoa. Guys!
But the fountain's not very deep, so how did the student drown in it? We don't know.
It is.
It's all a conspiracy.
Like, guys, you can drown in like inches of water. It's not, it'd be ridiculous.
This is a conspiracy. There are many rumors about this fountain as a whole thing.
So I heard, and I mean, it's clear based off this architecture, which makes no sense for Florida, that this school used to exist in Iowa. It was somehow transported here. What's with all these basements?
Why would there be a basement in Iowa, in Florida, of all places? Facts.
These are facts, for sure.
I love it when we bring logic into these games.
How does one dig into a swamp?
So the next thing is to discuss whether our game will feature systematic oppression. I think people kind of wanted a lighter game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's
not oppress the squares.
Yeah. I will be a to them, but beyond
that's
fair.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'm a to everyone.
I was about to ask, are you a jerk to everybody?
Yes.
Okay, then
equal opportunity. Yes.
Okay, then that's fine.
All right, so everybody do character introductions, right? Better, am I forgetting anything?
Yeah, so we did tropes before, characters, grades, we can do in introductions, strengths, flaws, different species, including characters who are disabled or neurodiverse characters, race, gender, ethnicity, sexuality. If there's anything we want to talk about in terms of lines, veils for portrayals of any groups of people, you know, obviously we're going to portray people sensitively if we choose to, but if there are any concerns people have, now would be a good time to talk about them, just so we don't, you know, accidentally step on anybody's emotional toes here. I trust y'all to do anything sensitively if you choose to do it. So
if anybody has anything specific that they want us to watch out for, just send me a message and I'll kind of watch for it as well. So why don't we start with Doug introducing his character?
All right. So as we were going through, I decided to shift my character a little bit. He's going to, instead of being the charismatic slacker, he's going to be the, what's the name of it? Let me just make sure I get this right. He's going to be the withdrawn bookworm. His name is William, but I haven't decided on his last name yet. We'll do that in these games. I like to do last names after we've done character relationships, just in case we decide on like a sibling or cousin relationship. So his name is William. He is a bookworm. He comes across as very, very timid. He's very smart in keeping with being a bookworm, but he's also especially non-brawny.
How many years has William been at Crawfordford's?
This is William's first year. He's from up north and feels real out of place down here.
And what is William's favorite class and who teaches it?
William's favorite class is magical history. And I think that's the one class that Mademoiselle Printemps teaches back in the day when headmasters taught a class or two at their academies. Okay. Yeah. And so Printemps teaches it and he just thinks she's so cool. He wants to grow up and be a teacher, and just thinks it's great that she's so young and is so very, very, very talented. He's not quite a teacher's pet because he's too timid to be, but he just thinks the world of her.
And I think maybe at this school, it's a 4-year school, but not everybody is the same age when they come into it.
Mm-hmm.
So how old is William?
William is 14.
14. So an average age to be a first-year student.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you feel is important to share about William yet?
Yeah, I guess I should share his familiar and everything. So yeah, his familiar is a small rat who he's had for a very long time.
And what's the rat's name?
The rat's name is Billy.
Billy, all right.
Which he was too worried about naming his rat anything. Couldn't think of a name, was worried that he'd get it wrong. And finally, his older sister just got frustrated and said, like, the heck with this. Like, your rat's name is Billy. Just call your rat Billy William. And so for a while, he called the rat Billy William, but then realized what his sister meant and started calling the rat Billy. His broom is a map maker's friend, which keeps him from getting lost if he knows the area. Because he was growing up always scared of not being able to find his way home. And so eventually his parents got that for his 10th birthday. And his wand is, let's see, I'm trying to think of like a really good northern tree, like one that just wouldn't grow in the south.
Pines, right? Maple, yeah?
Yeah, maple.
Yeah, so it's a maple wand that he created. He chose the wood himself. That's a tradition in his family. And got it from a branch in the backyard of the tree he used to climb when he was younger. Core is, I don't know what the core is.
Maple syrup.
With a maple syrup core. So that's going to be a plus one to charm there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You're so sweet.
Yeah. With a syrup core.
All right. I love it.
How very Canadian.
Yeah, his family's Canadian. He's not.
Who wants to go next?
I'll go.
All right.
Okay. So I am Henry. I am a Minotaur and an upperclassman. I am 680 years old because divided by 40, that equals 17. My grandfather was the Minotaur of Greek mythology. Basically, I'm sweet. I'm strong. I'm not that smart, but at least I'm passing my classes. And I am pansexual. I date everybody. I'm just a sweet, dumb Minotaur. Oh, and I'm here on a Jacru scholarship. Never would have gone to magic school. My dad thinks it's really dumb. Doesn't make any sense. I'm a strong Minotaur. Why don't I just guard gates? But I like the magic stuff, and I'm really into Jacru. So that's why.
You just hang out in labyrinths like the rest of us.
What's wrong with you, son?
At least the school has a maze.
Not good enough for you.
Can you just wander around aimlessly in a big maze?
You were supposed to take over for your grandfather's legacy.
Sorry, Henry, you said this is your first year?
No, I am an upperclassman, but that is why I am here. So he's 17, he's an upperclassman.
What about your wand and broom?
Yes, so I am trained in brooms. That is my class, which comes in super handy with the whole Jacruz thing and moving around. My wand is an oak, and I just looked this up. It is an oak from the tree that came forth from Bicus and Philemon in Greek mythology. And then the core of it is lion's mane.
So I thought I knew Greek mythology. Who are Bicus and Philemon?
I don't know. I just looked it up on Google. I just said trees, Greek mythology. Find me something. I guess it's just they were a devoted old couple, and when they died, they turned into an oak and linden tree.
Nice. Who said they were ready next?
I will be if you're done.
And then I was going to do the broom, which I ride a Valiance 2400 because strong. I'm a big beefy dude. I need a big beefy broom. Okay, I'm done.
All right, I'll go next. This is Kent.
I am Grumdor. It's a family name. I am a centaur. 17 years old in square years. My pronouns are he and him.
I don't know about sexuality yet. I'll figure that one out.
Fear. I have
a big fear of being forgotten, just completely forgotten about by people. My motivation is to be more popular. I'm just a big old centaur. I've got blonde horse hair, but a full head of red human hair on my human half. I am an upper class student. My favorite class is summoning. So let's see here. My broom. I have a pair of bolting 4000s. They're real ragged looking. They're old and well used, probably by my father, his father before him. I have a nice saddle that people do not ride in. The saddle is for holding my brooms, and that is all it is for. Do not try to climb up and ride me anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I have a note here. This is broom equals horse rocket.
Yes.
So trying to ride you is poor centaur friendship etiquette.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Just want to make sure we understand
that. If somebody tries to, you just say, well, you wouldn't try to ride William, would you?
That's right. Or Henry.
Oh, no, please. If you guys try to ride me, please don't.
Henry tried to jump on William's back like 8 times when he first met him as a freshman.
It hurts real bad, please.
My wand is ironwood with the core is actually a sliver of my father's hoof. This is a family tradition. Our wands are all have a sliver of our parents' hooves in it, one of the parents. I have a little wild pig named Slam as my familiar.
Slam or Slim?
Slam.
S-L-A-M?
Yeah. Are we doing character questions yet?
No, we'll do that.
Okay. I think that wraps me up.
David, what was your familiar's name? I missed it.
I totally forgot that. I have a magical little wolf cub, and he never gets bigger than a wolf cub. So like he's a full grown dog, but he still looks like a little wolf cub. He's cute. He sneaks around. He keeps me out of trouble. And his name is Puprin.
Puprin.
You got a Pomsky, didn't you?
Husky, but you know.
Yeah.
All right. Who'd like to go next?
I can go.
Perfect.
I am playing Carolina Shank. She's 15. She, her. She's fairly tall, angular, just always frowning. She's got very short black hair that's extremely meticulously taken care of. She always wears very sharp suits. So I'm assuming 15 is an underclassman. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So
that'd be like second year.
So the way I'm going to do this is that people will join the school when they're ready to join it. So you tell me what grade you feel like they're in at 15.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with underclassmen.
Okay.
What's next? I've got my familiar is a badger named Slim. It's a European badger for specificity's sake. My strengths are gifted and wealthy. And my wand is a black pine with a porcupine quill core.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. It's very nice looking. As for my broom, I've got a glossy black finished Daredevil duster. It's flashy as all get out.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything? Oh, potions.
And who teaches potions?
Who teaches potions? Okay. So I'm going to say her favorite class is potions. Definitely her least favorite teacher. That would be a gnomish person who is very, very cheery. Like obnoxiously so. Like no matter how clear you make it that you just want to be left alone to make your stuff. They're right there trying to help out and be useful and make sure that you're being the best you possibly can be, and it is the worst. I'm not good at coming up with names for that.
Well, that's fine. I'll name it before next week.
Cool.
And everyone else loves this teacher.
Oh yeah, no. Are you kidding? This is like everyone's favorite teacher. She hates them.
But Caroline hates that teacher, but it's her favorite class.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, like everything else about the class, it would be perfect, except for that teacher.
Awesome. Next.
I'll go.
Perfect.
All right, I am Gwendolyn. I am 14 years old as a first year. I am playing a firstborn caster. I'm very innocent and naive. And I'm
how old did you say?
14.
Okay.
She is the middle child in her family. Her wand is made of pine that she got from one of the garden boxes in her backyard. And her familiar is a purple parrot named Orange.
At least there's something that rhymes with parrot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And her broom is the suave sweeper because she is trustworthy, and that gives her a +1 to charm checks.
Nice. Favorite class?
Her favorite class is flower power with Professor Murray. And that's where she gets to learn all about different magical plants and flowers.
Excellent.
Hello, listeners. Quick break in the action here to introduce a new player. We recorded this over two nights. On the second night, we were able to have Kate join us, who's going to be part of this game. They just weren't able to be there for the first night, so here they are. So you're hearing a new player, Kate, with their character. Going to introduce themselves here in just a second, and then we're going to get into character relationship questions.
Thank you.
And then Isla.
Hi, so I am Isla Skylarbelt. She is a 81-year-old human, but if you had to guess, she's one of those people that is old no matter how old you are. If you had to pick a word to describe her, you would say rosy because she is short and plump and round. She's got red hair streaked with silver, big rosy cheeks, tip of her nose kind of red all the time. Nobody really knows why. She is a doting caretaker, and she is not actually staff at the school. She is not faculty, not a teacher, but she looks after the school, and as she looks after the school, she looks after all of the students and employees there as her people. If you are there, you are her people, and she will care for you. Her broom is the Heartwood's Helper, and her wand is cherrywood with a core of ancient literature pieces.
Oh, interesting.
And she has an animal familiar of a red fox named Crimson.
I was really hoping your red fox is named Red Fox.
If I went with that, then I wouldn't be able to keep my mouth, and it would be a problem. I know myself too well.
Awesome. We'll do the launder setup or the full setup. So we're going to go through and do one question for each person for a character you know, either positive or negative of your choice, and then one question for a character that you don't know. And then after that, we'll go through and do your trope questions as well. I'll kind of, we'll just do a snake weave. So I'll start in the order that I've everybody written down, and then we'll go backwards order, I think. And we'll start with David, because he's first on my list. So you can pick no or don't know, and I'll just take a note, and you'll do the other one when we come back to you.
Okay. Character I know, and that'll be Grumdor.
All right. And you said positive or negative?
Positive.
What meaningful or important object did this character give you?
Okay. He knows how obsessed I am with Shakur's and practicing, so he bought me a very special Jacruz ball that's almost got like a Fitbit tracker style thing in it. Like if you manipulate it certain ways, you can track your stats with the ball. So you know how fast it's going, how well you're throwing it at different things. And so I prize it and I use it all the time to make sure I know that I'm in top shape for my Jacruz stuff, you know?
Excellent. Then Doug, know or don't know?
Somebody I don't know.
All right. And who would you like?
I feel like, so at what point in the school year are we?
I think we're probably right towards the end of the first quarter.
Okay. I'm going to say that I don't know Henry.
Okay. What is this character doing to threaten their family's reputation in the school?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. he got accused of cheating in a game and probably wasn't true, but it's still like, was a real issue and involved all sorts of magical investigations and closed door hearings and stuff like that. So he got accused of cheating in a game of Jacruz.
Yeah, I hate spelling that already.
You're welcome.
I mean, stab hockey is easier.
Yep. Oh, stab
hockey. Yeah, I can't mess that up.
Carolina hates it when people call it that.
It'll go really well with the rocket horse notes.
Yeah. All right. Gwendolyn, know or don't know?
No. I know Isla.
What wonderful, unforgettable experience did you and this character have together?
We baked cookies together. I was feeling very homesick, and she offered to bake cookies with me, and it made me feel right at home, and they were delicious.
Y'all rated the home ec class.
Excellent. Carolina, know or don't know?
I know Grumdor.
You know Grumdor.
Not positive.
Negative Grumdor.
Grumdor.
I think Grumdor's a really great Swedish metal band if you've never heard of them.
All right. When was the last time you betrayed this character?
What's a good betrayal? I think Carolina told Grumdor that they would save them pie at lunch after practice. And then she took the last piece. That was yesterday.
The worst betrayal.
That is the worst betrayal.
Yes, the truest betrayal.
Pretty bad in a magical high school.
It's not the first time.
It was his favorite type of pie, right?
Oh, absolutely. What is Grumdor's favorite type of pie?
Grumdor's favorite type of pie is probably like lemon pie.
Yeah, Carolina like doesn't even like lemon pie.
You eat it anyways. Yeah, it's a very very Lucy and Charlie Brown moment of like pulling the football out from under him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Grumdor. Nowhere.
I'm gonna say that I don't know William. Positive on William.
Oh, there's just one chart for don't
know. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Based on what you know, how is this character different from the rest of their family?
Well, we know that William's not Canadian like the rest of their family, but let's see. So I think that William, as opposed to the rest of their family, is not very outdoorsy. I think William likes to be indoors. If it's going to be raining, William will opt to stay in or undercover, as opposed to like carrying an umbrella around or anything. Like the elements just don't agree with William.
Excellent. And then, Isla, right?
Yep.
Okay, Isla. Know or don't know?
No.
Positive or negative?
Let's say positive Henry. Just complete the circle. Why not?
All right. This character reminds you of someone that you've recently lost or left behind. Who is it?
Henry. Henry reminds me of, ages and ages ago, there was just another youngster who just was such a sports enthusiast, same way. Oh, for the life of me, I couldn't remember his name. Something similar. It was like a Harry or maybe a Henry or might have been like a Frank. Sweet kid. Very, very sweet kid. But, you know, his class graduated and then off he was. Just another one gone to the years.
Also 7 foot tall and built like a fridge.
You know, they come along every once in a while.
All right. And then it'll be back to you, someone you don't know.
Let's say Carolina.
Why are so many students afraid of this character?
Notorious pie thief. Just And, you know, I try to make sure there's extra pie. I talk to the kitchen staff and I say, you know what? You don't make enough of those pies. Whatever you think you're making, just do two more. And no, they don't. You would think they would listen to me after all these years. There's always one in every class. Pie thieves, nothing but pie thieves. But no, they don't listen to old Isla. No, no.
All right. Grumdor, this will be a no. Would you like positive or negative?
Positive, and I think I should probably go with my best friend, Henry.
All right. Tell us, you and this character have somewhere secret in the school you go to that you think only the two of you know about. Where is it?
Somewhere secret in the school that we go to. All right. So I think at the stab hockey field, there's like there's a main like equipment building, but like back there's an older equipment building that used to be used before they realized it was probably better to move the equipment building closer. So this one's kind of back in some woods that have grown up around it. And so we go and we hang out there whenever we want to go and hang out places that we don't want other people around us. So an old equipment shed.
The bro shed.
Bro shack.
The bro shack. Carolina.
A place where we can bro together.
No. Please, no.
Oh, I did it.
I know. I knew it was going to happen.
Of course you did.
I co-sign as, you know, knower of the bro shack. I co-sign it.
Carolina, someone you don't know.
Gwendolyn.
What bad reputation does this character have around the school?
Oh. I think Gwendolyn has a smell.
A smell?
Yeah, like a smell. It's not necessarily like a bad smell. It's just they walk by and you can't help but do that quick, like, and like question, what is that? What is that? Nobody's been able to put their finger on quite what the smell is. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just different. Maybe it's the laundry detergent. Maybe it's the shampoo.
Old.
It's something. It's cold. Something.
Mm-hmm. And does she smell a little bit square since she's a firstborn caster?
That could be it. Like, using like square products and whatnot. That all that panting.
The kids say she has square stank. Oof.
Yeah. Totes.
Vicious. Someone's gonna get
pirate. I mean, that's Shank's opinion.
It's just mean. You're mean.
She's just telling the truth. It's not wrong.
I'm going to allow it.
Gwendolyn, someone you don't know.
Someone I don't know. I don't know. I don't know Henry.
Why was your only brief interaction with this character so positive?
He held the door open for the class as we were coming through the hallway. So he appears to have manners.
He tried to hold it open, but it was more like he opened it and the door ripped off the hinges. But then he just stood in front of it to be nice.
Well, my recollection was that you opened the door for us.
And it stayed open.
So
yeah, for the rest of the day.
So all I know is that you appear to have manners. So
appear to have
appear, yeah.
That's I don't know you, so I don't have any other information.
Well, he was actually trying to leave, but he's so big that he couldn't without stepping on everyone, so he's just kind of stuck there in the doorway.
Yeah, it was all a confluence, but you know what? Henry made the most of it. Just got to greet everybody.
William, this one will be a no for you. And who will it be in positive or negative?
Who doesn't have a lot of questions about them yet?
Let's see. We could probably use another Isla.
Great, Isla. Positive.
How do the characters stand up for you in a time of need?
Let's see. I was rushing to class on one of the first days and was completely lost because I didn't have my broom with me to help me get where I was going. And was about to burst into tears because the bell rang and everybody else was where they needed to go. And Isla saw me and came over and helped me get to my next class, but made sure that I was cool, calm, and composed before I walked in, and then told the teacher that I was helping her with something. And that was actually my magical history class, with a teacher that I look up to so much, who's also the headmistress of the school. And so her saying that, I felt gave me, put me in Mademoiselle Printemps' good graces.
Oh, wow. So yeah, it ended up working out real well.
Yeah.
All right. And then Henry, someone you don't know well.
Gwendolyn.
All right. Don't know. 16. What about this character do you admire that they don't see in themselves?
Because I'm in some ways with the Jacuzzi team and kind of know everybody because I see everybody out. The one thing I've noticed about Gwendolyn is that she's better at magic than she thinks she is. And she's done different things to help other people with her magic. And she doesn't seem to think it's a big deal, but other people are all of the other people are looking around wow, that's impressive.
Okay. So a few times things have just went really well.
She always seems to, it's if somebody doesn't have a locker, it's not that she just opens the locker, but she also changes the combination to something that they would remember.
All right.
Easier than their last locker combination. And she doesn't think it's a big deal, but other people are like, how did you combine two spells at once and you're still an underclassman?
All right, so I think the next thing will be your trope questions. So let's start with Henry.
Cool.
What is your go-to way of showing just how strong you are?
I don't do this. I do this to practice, during actual practice, but people kind of see it as showing off in that the guys on offense, I will literally have them all charge me and I will stop all of them at the same time. And so people are always like, oh my gosh, he's so strong. But for me, it's just yeah, I just want to make sure I stop everybody on the field. You know, this is what I do.
No big deal.
Yeah, no. And then I'll totally lift the room, the broom rack. I'll do that too on the sidelines, just so you know, keep up the tone.
That's your other power move, is just benching the broom rack a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
For sure.
Then, despite your muscle and reputation, you're incredibly gentle in which one part of your life? PG-13.
Other people. He really is the very stereotypical gentle bro. I mean, he is super strong, super good at sports, but is also a complete and total teddy bear, and just in every other facet is totally sweet. But if you put him on a Jacuzzi field, he's going to play as hard as he can.
And while I have this up, let me get your strengths and flaws.
Yes. My strength, because brooms is my favorite class, trained in brooms. And then guardian. And my flaws are naive and conspicuous. Because, I'm a minotaur. You're not going to hide me.
All right. Let's see. William.
All right. So my first trope question is, why do I love studying by myself?
And that's because that's the best way to study, obviously. You don't have anybody bugging you. You don't have anybody, like, annoying you or asking to copy your homework or anything like that. It's just the best. Like, your family's out for a walk or whatever, and they just, everybody leaves you alone with you and your rat.
All right, question two. How have your recent attempts to spend time with others backfired?
So I tried to, like, spend some time with people in the library and, you know, like, put myself out there a little bit, but people kept doing their work wrong and I kept correcting them. And they just kind of weren't having it. I was trying really hard to be, like, helpful about it because I figured they didn't want to get stuff wrong, but I guess it came across wrong.
Oh, and they didn't like that, huh?
Yeah.
Weird. All right, and strength?
I am trained in brains magic because that's a real source of pride for me, being smart. Like all underclass students, I have innocence, so I can spend 2 adversity tokens to once per session to convince an adult not to get me in trouble for something I did within reason. And then I have a psychic link with Billy.
With William?
With my rat, Billy.
Oh, Billy. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Billy the rat, not William the human boy.
Correct.
That will never be confusing this entire time.
Nope, not at all. You're welcome.
And flaws?
I'm timid and cursed.
Cursed? You're cursed?
Yep.
Okay.
You want to tell us more about cursed?
I don't know anything more about it.
You don't know anything more about it?
I might not have discovered that I'm cursed yet. Okay. I might know. That's entirely up to the GM. You're all welcome. Right.
Thank you. all right. Firstborn caster Gwendolyn.
Hello.
All right. Question one. How did you first discover your magical powers?
I was playing with my sister in our treehouse, and we were getting a little crazy, and she started to fall out, and I went to grab her, and instead of me catching her, the tree branches outside started growing super, super fast, and they caught her instead, and I thought it was my imagination, but then I started pointing more and thinking at plants, and they just started growing fast, and it seemed to be me.
Oh, interesting. And how did your non-magical family react when you manifested your powers?
They were a little confused, but they thought it was pretty cool, and they were happy that I saved my sister from hurting herself really bad, so that's pretty cool. And they just want me to be happy and learn about magic, so that's cool.
Magic's hidden from the normal world, so I'm going to ask you an additional question. How does your family keep the fact that your magical powers hidden?
They just say that I'm going to a boarding school to learn about my passion for plants, and that's why, like all of the plants at our house are super huge and amazing, and I did all that, which is true. So it makes sense.
Perfect. Your strengths.
Innocence and easygoing. So innocence, I get to spend 2 adversity tokens to convince an adult to get me out of trouble. And then easygoing means I get 2 adversity tokens when I fail a check.
One of the best.
Yep. I like that one. You get rewarded for your failures.
And your flaws.
I am naive and competitive.
Wonderful. Carolina, the haughty descendant.
Yes.
Question one. What famous or infamous thing is your family known for in the magic world?
My family was actually had the first member of the Secret Service to protect Abraham Lincoln. They were the ones that actually got him out of the theater. Yeah. Since then, they've filled various high-level positions. It's kind of a family legacy to be in the Secret Service. But, you know, we also got politicians and other such folk, too. In general, pretty positive reputation.
Lots of power. Why are you afraid you won't be able to live up to your family's reputation?
They are all just incredibly well respected. Like, anywhere you turn, if something has the name Shank on it, it's typically got a very good reputation as something powerful and reliable. And yeah, like, no matter what she does, she still does not feel like she's good enough for that name.
All right, and your strengths?
My strengths, aside from the default of innocence, are gifted and wealthy.
And flaws?
My flaws are competitive and blunt.
Excellent. All right, Drumdoor. Why are you so bonded to your best friend?
I am so bonded to Henry because I too play stab hockey and I'm not that good at it, but Henry's always there by my side, lifting me up, telling me I do a great job, I contribute to the team, and, you know, just to keep at it. And that kind of spills over into every other thing in life. You know, if I'm feel like I'm having trouble on a test or had a spell, Henry's uplifting for me.
Quick question.
What's that?
Grumdor, what position are you? Are you the goalie?
Probably the goalie, but like probably second goalie.
I'm sure they desperately want you to be first goalie just because you're a huge target.
Yeah. I'm big and I'm ideal, but I just don't have the skill for them to really get me in the position to justify it.
Yeah.
I was going to check the notes. So there's only two official positions, right? Goalie and fielder.
Yes.
But there are tons of unofficial positions.
Yep.
For the various fielder roles, pitchers, rushers, bowls, sweepers, snipes, etc. Is there more than one goalie or just a goalie and fielders?
I think I'm backup goalie.
Yeah.
Grumdor is riding the bench, the very, very long bench.
Yeah, it's not comfortable either because they didn't design with a centaur in mind.
No.
Do you straddle it?
Yeah, I kind of stand over it, and then, like, I have to stretch the front legs and the back legs out real far. So I take up a lot of room. So most times you just find me standing off to the side, leaning up against, like, the stands where, you know, the fence along the stands or whatever.
About halfway through the game, Henry will pull, like, the bag of spare balls and set it down so he can prop his feet up for a little while.
Yeah.
When do you wish you were the center of attention rather than the sidekick?
Oh, I mean, also stab hockey. I think I watched Henry out there just, pun intended, beasting it up. And we can, you know, dream that one day I'll be out there beasting it up with Henry.
Beast mode.
Yep. So I watch from the sidelines and wish that it was me out there.
But not jealousy, right?
Not jealousy, no.
Okay. And your strengths?
Loyal and guardian. And I think my flaw is I overcompensate a little bit as being the reliable bestie by being a little bit of a loudmouth. And I haven't settled on a second one.
Some of the suggested ones were naive and cursed.
Yeah. Maybe naive.
Well, keep thinking on it. No rush. Let me see. I'm looking at the overall list of them. How do you feel about cocky or hot-headed?
Not cocky. Maybe hot-headed.
Is there something that can play into your fear of being forgotten?
Yeah. Yeah, I think hot-headed. I think probably hot-headed works. I'm going to write that down for now. But
I'll okay, if you decide to change it, just let me know.
Sure will.
And then Isla, doting caretaker.
I don't remember the exact wording. I know the first question was, what is my non-teaching role at the school? Yeah. So outside of just generally looking after the upkeep of the school itself, I have down that she counsels the students having interpersonal conflicts to help them find peaceful resolutions.
All right. And question two is, what did you do that barred you from teaching magic at the school?
So while she was gifted in the topics, she never actually graduated.
All right. And strengths?
I have wild speak, which gives me the ability to communicate with any animal whose species I have knowledge of, and guardian, which is anytime I'm defending somebody, I always roll magic die, even if I'm not using magic to do it. And if my check fails, I may re-roll the magic die. And I'm also studied. Since I'm faculty, I'm studied in the history of magical society.
All right. Flaws.
I have clumsy and loudmouth.
So how does the loudmouth typically manifest?
She's just kind of a little bit loose-lipped. She doesn't mean to be, but you know, she helps people work out all their problems, and then she's got a little bit of the hot gossip going on the side. You know how old ladies do.
So not ever cruel, just gossipy.
Just gossipy.
Okay.
Oh, I understand you have that problem. You know who else has a problem just like that? You should talk to that person because they have that same problem.
Miss Isla!
Oh, so sorry, honey. Have a cookie.
What else do we want to cover tonight? I'll just trust you all to fill out your school bags. And you can, we'll do character sheets after. Probably class schedule. And I think that's it, right? Okay, so I think you all have access to PDF. It's page 37. So we're going to make up your class schedules. You're going to choose three classes that you have in your schedule for the semester. And when you apply your learning in those classes during the adventures, you'll work towards having good marks in those classes. So we kind of built into this your grades by doing the stuff that you're studying. All right, so let's go in reverse order. Isla, you won't choose any classes because you're not a student. So we'll go to Grumdor.
But she should indicate what she's like studying and actively pursuing.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll start with Grumdor. What are your three classes?
Okay. Summoning was my favorite class. So I'm going to go with that. Brooms, because I've got to master this art of rocket horse. And transfiguration.
Carolina?
I have got potions, defense against malicious magic, and charms.
Gwendolyn?
I'm doing history of magic, charms, and because it was my favorite class, I'm doing flower power, which is not in the book.
It is not. So let's see what... I think we talked about it a little bit last time, right? I maybe have it in the notes here.
Oh, our other classes?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have reverse harmonic summoning, underwater wand making,
yep.
Disguising your magic 101, home economics, which is derisively called square skills. Unmaking the myth, blending in as a mythological being.
Do I need to pick one from the list, or can it be one of those?
Like, it'd be one of those.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the. I'm gonna keep my flower power as my favorite.
Perfect.
I'm a real plant focused character.
Yeah, there's a theme. I like it.
Clearly. Yeah.
So mentioning that blending in as a mythical creature, I think for Grumdor's been here. This is his fourth year. No one's ever clued him in that that's a class.
It's an elective.
An elective.
And it's just kind of a going secret that people do their best to keep him unknown. Keep it unknown from him.
He's like the guy that thinks he's invisible in Eric the Viking.
Or in Mystery Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, William.
So my schedule is magical history with Mademoiselle Printemps, introduction to potions with Professor Thaname, and reverse harmonic summoning with Professor Maltazard.
What was the last one? Reverse harmonic summoning?
Yeah, with Professor Maltazard.
And then Henry.
So Henry's going to be in Unmaking the Myth. The teacher actually had to recruit him because he didn't know about it either. But he was walking around, and the teacher was just like, "You need to be in my class, son."
He's also going to be
in Defense Against Malicious Magic, and he's going to be in Brooms, but he's going to be in the section of Brooms with Coach Bristle, who is the Jacru's coach. And as well, just one extra class that he takes, which is really just Jacru's practice, but it's called Advanced Tactics in Jacru's Technology, which is really just the highest level practice for Jacru's.
It's like a ripoff of one of our theater elective courses.
That definitely sounds like something that Carolina would bulldoze her way into just to keep trying to prove that she's the best.
That would be amazing.
Does Carolina go to that?
Yeah, I will say that she does.
Hello, great class, and also Carolina.
The coach keeps telling her that she doesn't need to take this. She's still new to the sport.
I mean, it's not even a class, it's just practice.
Yeah,
but that's how you get credit for your practice.
It's the late practice. Carolina, everyone else goes home.
Carolina shows up with a full notebook, like taking notes the entire time, and the rest of us all back and forth. I love it.
And then back to Isla.
So for Isla's very aged and ongoing continuing education concerns, she is auditing the charms, divination, and summoning classes. And then she's known to haunt the home economics square skills just because she really enjoys baking, and that's the only place that she can really be left alone to do it in peace. So she very frequently winds up with the homesick kids who grew up in so-called square households, baking with them so that they feel more at home.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think that is everything tonight.
Kids on Brooms is designed by Doug Levadowski, John Gilmore, and Spencer Stark, and is a production of Renegade Game Studio. The music used in this series is Aquarium by Kevin MacLeod. The series is being edited and produced by Kent Blue and features Eve Smith, David Hanna, Diana Lorraine, Kate Harlow, Doug Levadowski, and Kent Blue as players, and John Gilmore as the Game Master.